Oh boy, Aziz Ansari is back and starring in a brand new Netflix original series, Master of None. It's created by Aziz and Alan Yang and based on the comedic viewpoints of Aziz Ansari. Well, who else would it be based on? I know Aziz. Obviously, we did a show together. He's been on NTSF. I've been on Parks and Rec. We're buddies, and I love this show. And I don't love this show because I know Aziz. I love this show because it's actually really, really good, and it is truly Aziz. It follows him around New York City, his personal and professional life as a 30-year-old actor in New York who has trouble deciding on what he wants to eat, much less the pathway for the rest of his life. Ambitious, funny, cinematic, and both sweeping in scope and intensely personal, Dev's story takes him through the subjects as diverse as the plight of the elderly, the immigrant experience, and how to find the most delicious pasta for dinner. Catch all the episodes. That's the best part about Netflix. You can watch them all. Binge it right now. Master of None, now streaming only on Netflix. That's right. Check it out. Aziz Ansari, Master of None. It's good. Sheer stamp of approval. Ka-ching! Why do I carry around that really heavy stamp? No one will know. Today's episode was brought to you by our good old pals at Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. Don't believe me? Check out my website, which was built by Squarespace, paulshear.com. Also, check out crashtest.com, built by Squarespace. You can do it too. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code BONKERS at checkout for 10% off. That's BONKERS, BONKERS at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. You dumb. Beware of space vampires that will French kiss the blood out of you. We saw life force, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Did you know you wonder how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
I'm terrific. We should probably say hello, people of space, as well, for this movie.
Oh, my
hello,
gosh.
Hello, people of space.
Hello, people hello of Halley's space. Comet Detris.
Space vampires. Hello. Oh,
finally, we get to do a space vampire movie. Sadly.
Finally. Like, we have been just dying for it.
Just missing it. We are sadly not joined today by June Diane Raphael, who is shooting today, her last day on season two of Grace and Frankie, which you can check out on Netflix. And that's why this episode is dropping so late. It wouldn't have normally dropped this late, but we appreciate you guys' patience. And we have a very special guest to fill her shoes. Please welcome the amazing, the talented,
one of the greats,
the one of the best.
You're overselling.
Lennon Parham, welcome
Hello.
To the show. People
happy
that
to be here.
That know you and love you know that you have an amazing show called Playing House that yes. they can binge watch now. They
yeah.
can just binge watch that shit
on any media platform.
And it's on the USA Network.
Characters it originally aired.
Are welcome.
That's correct.
I love it. Same
supposedly.
Is there going to be a crossover between Mr. Robot and you guys, maybe?
I actually did go to the same undergrad as
Rami.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I love that show.
And we had photos taken at the
That's amazing.
Critics Association. I didn't. I didn't know if he would remember me because I spent a summer theater thing with him, but he was like immediately like, Lana! And like,
oh, wow.
embraced
wow.
me. And I was like, I'm the chosen one because everybody wants to get up in this guy's
Oh, yeah. And he
right
went
now.
To you. And that's yeah. what you need. You need
that's
them to come
great.
To you.
He's great. You got those eyes. He's got the Jason Mantzoukas eyes.
Yeah, he's got those big eyes.
Well, I want to give a special shout out to someone who's sitting in with us, a contest winner. A fan, he wouldn't say super fan, and I appreciate that. Please welcome Thomas, who picked. Thomas, you can say hi. You can say hi on the mic there.
Hello.
Thomas picked our theme song. I said old or new. He picked old. We're going to maybe come to Thomas at a certain point and see if he has any opinions on Life Force, which he watched with us. But man, oh man. And before we even get into it, after the minute you're done listening to today's podcast, Make sure you head on over to Slash Film. Read Blake Harris's brand new oral history of Life Force. It really starts off pre-Poltergeist and takes you, because Tobe Hooper directed this, and he directed Chainsaw Massacre, Poltergeist, and this. So you really get to see a whole trajectory of how he came to be. And go to the YouTube, to the Movie Bitches YouTube channel, where they have some fun videos that they've made for Life Force. But now, let's get into Life Force.
Oh, God.
This movie...
Yowza.
...is a real interesting one.
It's a real yowza.
Well, first to say that this is a movie, and Lennon, you may not know this, we have been kind of getting knee-deep into canon films. Canon films are like these two foreign guys, I guess depending on where you're from, these two guys basically were like, let's make a shitload of movies, as much cocaine as we do, let's make as many movies as that. And so they've made movies like Masters of the Universe, they've made movies like these Chuck Norris movies. This is one of their films, Life Force. $1 million or something ridiculous. No, it was a budget, $25 million budget.
$25 million for this?
$25 million.
Ooh, that's shocking. Is that a lot?
I mean, I think in 1985, it was a lot.
That's a lot of
with
money.
With inflation, that's a lot.
Well, they were definitely like hoping that that the success of Poltergeist would just kind of feed into this.
Well, I feel like this has like a little bit of Poltergeist. It's a little bit of Star Wars. It's like they're borrowing from a little bit of 2001.
Yes,
they're borrowing from everybody to be like. But I'm shocked that it's as much as 25 million.
Well, the original,
it's a real R-rated film though. Like it's not a family flick. Like I mean, Poltergeist is not a family film,
but I saw it
definitely
as a kid.
Not. You know, there isn't a big-titted woman walking through the entire film.
I think this movie has the best tits of any How Did This Get Made movie in recorded
history. I knew you were
going
to say that. Do you know what? I said Jason loves these tits.
Oh. These tits are great.
This is like Jason's dream tits, and they're the tits from a Playboy, like from the from the cartoons
from
of
like
a Playboy.
From like a 70s-era Playboy.
She is kind of a perfect lady. She's
purposefully. That's what we're led to believe is that she is like the idea of perfection of a perfect woman brought to life
pretty much
within the mind of the main character. Oh,
and if we want to refer to her, we can refer to her as her character's name.
Space Girl. I Googled her or IMDb'd her or whatever. I was like, I got to know who this girl is and what else she went on to do.
Matilda May, who has made three films, I believe.
Only three?
Only three. But she was a French ballet dancer, and they needed to get to her because no woman would take their clothes off for this long a period of time.
Really?
Olivia Hussey, who is
Hussey? Last name Hussey?
But yeah, you know her. She's been in a lot of
different
stuff.
Yeah, what has she been in?
I'm looking it up.
Yeah,
she's familiar.
Yeah, she was in Romeo and Juliet, the original Romeo
and
Juliet.
That's right. She had great tits too, and she was supposed to be 14.
Yes, and she, when she saw how much nudity would be in this movie, like, check. I'm out.
Really?
Yes, she walked.
Wow.
And they needed to find someone. So
it's all making sense now.
Yeah, and so it was a very...
By the way, the modern pictures of Matilda May, still
she's gorgeous.
She's
still got it. She's
gorgeous.
Still got it.
You know, because she didn't get involved in that Hollywood lifestyle.
Yeah.
She's able to keep those beautiful...
Holy cow, this is hilarious.
Yeah, she's a beautiful woman.
Gorgeous. This was, best
there were
best
too many,
in,
like...
How did this get made? By
the way, there Jason, were too many,
Greek.
What they call in the biz...
She's Greek, of course she's Greek.
Cowboy
Perfection.
Shots. You know what I'm saying? There were too many cowboy shots.
It was all from the waist up at all points.
The only time...
And those dudes were nude, too, and you never see...
You never saw their dongs.
Never
saw
some
dong-free movie.
The only time, and I don't know, maybe this is what gave them their, like, R rating as opposed to whatever the ratings were back then, when we cut to above the crystal tank, and they were looking in at her, and there was, like... A strap right over her nipples.
Yes,
I thought that was.
Oh no, and her vagina. And same with the woman that she robs of her essence.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, there's also the worst tits in How Did This Get Made history.
Oh, that shriveled
the
up
dummy,
raisin tits.
The dummy with the raisin, the raisin lady,
raisin boobies.
Raisin lady's tits are a nightmare.
Wait, the woman from the first
from the park
when they find
her first
park.
Victim in the park.
The prostitute.
Yes, when she
probably
laid out.
Had okay tits beforehand.
Well,
before
we
she got
know.
Her life essence.
We'll never know though because they're just like shriveled raisin tits.
Yeah, they were so...
And there's a strap covering her vagina as well. So no vaginas.
But we did see a hairy triangle in the in the far away from the when we first see her.
And this is a very important to note because they.
I could spend the whole episode just talking about boobs.
By the way, there's not that much plot that we have plenty of time to get into.
At 35 minutes, I wrote, I don't know who the main characters are. I don't know what the story is. What's going on?
The question is, what happened to Bukowski? That's the real question. If you've watched this film, they put a lot of. You think something's going to happen with him and it doesn't pay off.
No, it never pays off. Let me just talk to you about her naked body.
Yep.
They started off with her being waxed completely. They thought if they waxed her completely nude, they would make her seem less nude. They were wrong about that. Apparently, it was disturbing to see her fully nude. And so they needed to go back in and grow that little V-patch for her scene because they thought it was – I think they were trying to make her less –
Like alien, without hair.
Like species.
Did they put it on post?
Well, no. They made her grow it out. And then there was a makeup artist who was on the DVD commentary. He talks about in the oral history who had to get in there and like manicure it and just kind of make sure that the V that you did see was real.
Interesting.
The upside down triangle.
So I mean Matilda May, wow.
Nobody was really looking at that because everybody's – I mean, it was hard. She had a beautiful face.
Oh, she's
a gorgeous
person.
Her breasts were on film.
Yep.
That's where my eyes were going.
Oh, yeah. This movie, and I think I'm sure people are already talking about this, but there was a lot of under the skin in this movie. The Jonathan Glazer, under the skin, like alien on Earth seducing men in order to drain them of their life force or something like that. Very reminiscent of that.
Like,
especially
that movie.
When she's in Habit.
So
it's a good movie.
I watched like half of it and I was like,
polarizing movie because in many ways, it is very similar.
Like when she becomes the woman, the curly haired woman, and is seducing the guy who's working on his car.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, this is identical. Because that also takes place
in rural
Ireland or wherever, Scotland, I think
it's like, what are the darkest fantasies in these people, in all of the people's minds?
Yes.
Because then when we go meet the nurse with the gorgeous red hair.
Yeah.
But when he can see into her mind and what she wants.
Yeah, she's a masochist.
She's really a masochist. That's why she works at the mental facility with Patrick Stewart.
My favorite Patrick Stewart movie. This movie, we got to get into Patrick Stewart. We got to set up this movie. So basically,
everybody should have watched it. I don't want to fucking deal with anybody that hasn't watched this movie.
Yeah. Well, it starts off. I think it starts off.
Go watch it now.
It starts off epic to me, right? Though, because it's like the London Symphony Orchestra. Is playing and you're like, oh, this is, it feels like they're creating that Star Wars
space.
Yes.
You have a set where they're committing to kind of gravity and kind of not. They're like, oh yeah, there's no gravity in some sequences, but we also have gravity.
They explain it. They say that this ship is so advanced, it's the first ship that has been able to provide Earth-like gravity.
Which is basically them saying
we're not going to do people floating around. We can't afford it.
We're putting our $25 million.
Yeah, we're putting $25 million in pubic hair.
We gotta get that merkin going. And here's the thing, too. They there's no British space program, right? There's no, the space program in Britain is not sending astronauts up there.
The British space program is devastated right now. They are heartbroken that we don't know they exist.
There are satellites being sent up there.
Sure.
But they're not sending up space shuttles.
I don't think there's
Cape Canaveral of the UK.
It was a joint British-American crew.
I don't think there's ever been a Liverpool, we've got a problem.
Wait, ESA, though, what's that? That's everybody's uniforms.
That's the Air Force, right? It's a SAS or something like that?
ESA.
Oh,
and
that,
then
no,
there was SAF, which is...
Is it RAF? Royal Air Force is the Air Force. RAF. Oh, man. British people are they're on the tube losing their minds right now. Their headphones
are eating their chips.
Their fish and chips.
Look,
you dumb idiots.
ESA.
You don't know. We don't know.
ESA is the European Space Agency.
Okay.
And they do have a Twitter account.
How many followers?
446,000.
Tweet at us, ESA. Tweet at us.
Tell us what you are.
Yeah.
Tell us what you do. Justify yourself, ESA.
And what is the SAF?
Okay, by the way.
What?
One of the Twitters from them is like this. It's like, it goes, behind the scenes debriefing this week's sim leaking suit and capsule. Engine and computer failed. Lots to talk about.
So, like, things are not good. Yeah. Things are not good, and they're willing to talk about it on Twitter.
Yeah, they are not
like,
doing good.
Uh-oh, guys, we had another botched thing.
So... yeah, so basically, very similar to Alien, they find this like weird anomaly in the back of Halley's Comet that's basically like an artichoke from outer space, like this giant like
kind of space artichoke.
Space artichoke. They go inside of it. They find these crystal coffins in which there are naked people, and then it's pretty much cut to
3 months
later. 3 months later, yeah.
30 days.
Oh, 30 days. Sorry. Yep.
And we don't know much about what has happened.
We don't know much.
But we know they're
all dead.
Or we
that may be because of the naked tits.
Are we allowed? Do we need to say the whole plot?
No. Okay. I mean, just setting up roughly where
when
we are going.
So then they come back. So to when Earth. They go in, but when they go into that
the spaceship
thing, yes. It looks like the production designer was like, you know what would be cool. Is if we went inside of a vein or a bowel. It looks like a bowel, the interior of a bowel or an intestine.
It looks like a vaginal canal.
I said it like this whole movie feels like a very cheap ride from Epcot.
Yeah.
Like it just feels like.
Like you guys want to know what the stomach looks like?
Here we go, everybody. We shrunk you down. And even the inner space. Yeah, even though the puppets in this movie are also very much on the level of like a Disney animatronic. Like they're just like, there's not much movement to them. They are very
herky jerky. Especially, like, I will say this, like, this movie, 85?
85,
Alien is 78, I think.
Yeah.
And Alien looks so much better than this movie. Like,
They had a lot less, I think, in Alien. A lot less. They had one creature, right?
Well,
the baby creature.
And the chest bursters and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff looked much more believable than this. You're right, though. This has like full-on raisin dummies.
Thousands of people.
Yeah.
Raisin dummies is good. can I just show you, I want an example of how unprofessional the crew is. When asked the ESA's checking in with their crew that's on the inside in the bowel. And they're like, hey, you found some bodies? What does she look like?
Churchill, if you read, there are two nude males and one female.
This is Churchill. We have no picture. Come in, Tom.
Churchill. I said we found a young girl.
Girl? You mean human?
Definitely humanoid.
I'd say she's perfect. I've been in space for 6 months, and she looks perfect to me.
All right. Unprofessional ESA.
His life force was already being taken.
And by the way, there are women on their spaceship.
And
it's not like he's not seeing a girl. It's not like he's like, oh, I'm out in space with the boys. Like, there's girls on the ship.
And I feel like he's, like, actually belittling her a little bit. It's a woman. She's a woman. Like, it's not like a girl.
That he wants to fit.
And by the way, these men, the men in that place don't have any power over anything.
No,
it's all got to go through her.
Yeah, that is.
The whole thing is basically like, a pretty girl can control all men. Yeah,
or if you listen to the director, he says it's about men dealing with the feminine mystique.
Oh boy!
And finding the feminine inside themselves, which I don't understand because they do say that in the movie that it's about like we all have the feminine. Inside
Well, that she of us. Is yes, that she is the. She says that she looked into his mind, the main guy, and made herself in the image of himself, his femininity, or something like that.
Which, what was his strongest desire, I think, right?
Perfect tits.
Yes, man. Oh,
Jesus
man.
Christ.
And this movie, that line kind of ceases to, like, this movie is all over the board with, like, subtlety and lack. Like, so there's subtlety where I'm like, I don't know what's going on. That's how subtle
it is. That's not subtlety. That is so great that you attribute when you are confused. Well, this movie just must be too subtle for me to get it. Nope. That is just terrible filmmaking. There was so much of this movie that I was like, what? What's the plot? What are we talking about?
I mean,
about
I was
here?
Watching it and I was so upset and confused that I wasn't understanding what was going on. At one point, I literally looked away from the screen and I missed that it was 3 months later. And I was like, I don't know what's happening. There's one thing I'm going to play. I can plug this in, right? I'm sorry I'm playing too many clips, but I'm going to play this. This is another example of lack of subtlety in this movie's parts here. So the guy, one of our main characters decides to turn on the TV.
That's Bukowski.
Bukowski. Here we go.
Dominating the northern sky, stretching over 100...
Okay, a little news report.
Occupying 1/6 of the entire visible horizon. On this exceptionally clear night, a group of enthusiasts are commemorating Dr. Edmund Halley's great prediction by holding an outdoor watching from the site of his original observatory at Greenwich.
But are you talking about China?
Our viewers may be interested to know that comets were once considered to be harbingers of evil, and that one of the earliest words for comet was disaster, which in Latin means evil star. And it may indeed be an evil star for the deep space probe Churchill. There's still no word from Her Majesty's government.
This is a news report that's basically setting up the entire movie.
We can only await further developments.
Who is that for?
What citizen needs to hear this?
And what respectable newscaster is saying, like, it could be an evil star?
Yep.
An evil star?
Yes. Guess
evil
what? Star. The translation of evil star in Latin is not that.
Is not harbinger.
No.
Oh, it's not disaster? Disaster doesn't translate to evil star?
No. Disaster? No. It does not.
Are you sure about that?
I went on. Those are the two things I looked up. Meredith May.
Matilda May.
Matilda May and disaster.
That's like a bad row. Oh my gosh, this movie is.
No.
Yeah, it would be Cloudus.
No.
Would be disaster.
Disaster. It would be Malo would be like evil, right?
Yeah.
And star is something else. But that's
would it be like maybe like. This, for Meredith May, like, this ass star.
This ass is a star.
There was another part where they came back and they were just like, they were not at all specific.
Yeah.
And when they go back to where she's gotten up and has begun to seduce him, and then they cut, and right before he notices it, they say something like, gold is down.
Oh, gold is down. I remember gold is down. Gold is down.
Just, I was like, can you get more specific?
A mugging in the park today. Gold is down, and the design, and I'm going to spend 7 minutes talking about a comet. And did you notice on the spacecraft, they also had a framed picture of Halley? And it's like, but it was behind glass.
And that, like, they were like, oh, yeah, put that up right there where the guy's sitting. And he's just kind of sitting there.
The dumb Brits, they have to put up their own.
Dumb Brits. We're coming for you. Oh, man, when we do our London shows, people are going to really be angry at us.
Yes.
No, I'm saying that's, I feel like, the way that they treated them. Like, oh, we got to put that picture up there. I'm not saying that they're any dumb Brits.
No, of course not.
Anyway.
And that guy's American, meanwhile.
Yeah.
The Carlson.
The hero.
Carlson?
Yeah, Carlson.
Carlson.
Yeah. Carlson. He's American.
I would like
everybody else
to
rich.
Like a poor man's Tommy Lee Jones. That's who I saw.
You know what was so funny to me about the, like, I feel like in movies right now, everybody, no matter how old, seems like they're young. Everybody seems young.
Yes.
In this movie, the guard who first is, the first person killed by the alien lady who's robbed of his energy, they're like, what was he? He was about 20. That guy looks like he's 45
That's
years
true.
Old.
Yeah. That's true.
Everybody in the 70s and 80s, whether they were in their 20s or 30s, they look like they're in their 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
Everybody now in their 40s or 50s looks like they're in their 20s or 30s.
I wonder if that was because we were kids in the 70s and 80s and people... what we thought were adults.
But we're older now, and we're looking at people that are supposed to be older, and they look young.
It doesn't add up.
I don't think we look like we're...
You don't think the kids look up at like
Tom,
Chris
how
Hemsworth?
Old do you think we are? What do you think? Just guess. Look at the three of us. How old do you think we are?
Late 30s, early 40s.
Okay.
All right. That's a fair assessment.
Well, that's pretty accurate.
Dick.
Jason, screw you. Jason and I did a show with children, and they told Jason that he was, how old, 70?
So, I think so. Something like that, yes.
When I was teaching high school and I was 23 years old, I told the kids I was 38. And
they believed you?
I would joke and say, oh, I'm 83. And they would be like, you're 38. And I'd be like, I'm 23. I'm only
there's nothing more cutting than a child aging you up and
oh,
out.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, just to give you an idea, some people that were originally, the character of Kane, Colonel Kane.
The British badass guy.
Was written for Michael Caine.
Oh, interesting.
Then they couldn't get him. Then they tried to get Anthony Hopkins.
If we make his name Kane, I bet he'll do it.
Exactly. It makes it easier for him to read the script. I remember one time we did something in NTSF where there's a character named Cove, who's on the show every week, who was played by Kate Mulgrew. And then we hired this actor, Martin Cove, who was the bad guy from Karate Kid. And he came to set with all of Cove's part memorized.
Oh, no.
And we were like, oh, like, well, that – you know, that's not your character. And he goes, well, it's a cope.
Whoa.
And I was like, yeah, but.
How do you break that down for somebody?
I mean, it was.
That's a lot of lost time.
It was a lot of lost time and also didn't make any sense.
Did you because just shoot you would be it? Like,
yeah, well, yeah, we replaced Kate Mulgrew, who was a really traumatic day.
Ooh,
for her.
That's tough for her.
She was like, she's listen, doing all right.
Kate, he's already memorized he's got the lines.
For
so
the day, he's better than you.
This is where we're at.
So it went to Michael Caine. He said no. Anthony Hopkins, he said no. Terrence Stamp, he said no. And then Michael Gothard, he tested for Caine. This is going to come back to your guy here.
Yeah.
Bukowski. And basically, he got the part, and then they found Peter Firth. And they're like, no, get him in. So they just moved him down to Bukowski. So they basically took him, moved
his. That's why he looks so sad.
I think he's really upset.
Oh, he should have been
the lead of this movie.
He was the hero.
But he looks way older than the hero should have been.
Way old. They all look too old.
Everybody looks old, except Patrick Stewart, who looks
exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
He was always bald.
He's always looked like
that. By the way,
I will say, as a bald man, there is not many things, advantages to it, but that is one of them, is that you can go around never looking like you've aged.
You really do. I saw his name come up in the credits.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool, a young Patrick Stewart's going to be in this. Waiting for him. And I was, at a certain point, I was like,
Did I
miss him? Is he one of these guys, but he just had hair?
Right.
And
I thought maybe
missed
he
it?
Was one of the like handsome guys.
Nope. There he is. Boom. Alien. Professor X walking around.
Yeah.
That's how he got in that wheelchair.
My favorite scene in the movie is when. Because there's also, that's the other thing we talked about. It's Poltergeist, it's Alien, it's all these different
Star
movies.
Wars.
It's also The Exorcist, because they have to constantly be exorcising the space girl's spirit out of people. But like, my favorite thing is the scene where Patrick Stewart has been hypnotized.
Yeah.
And our hero guy, whatever his name is, Carlson, is screaming at him, and he's screaming at Patrick Stewart, "You bitch! You bitch! Get out of it! Get out of there, you bitch!" And it's like it's just a man on the table. And then they start making out.
Yeah, they do.
Was that Patrick Stewart? Do you think he did that?
Yes.
No, I mean, like, do you think he put on the woman's costume?
What?
Like, did he transform into that woman? Was that good acting, or is that a different
thing? Oh.
It could have been.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow. Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, hang on a second.
That, like, no, it could have been,
because it was his part, right?
This is really a question for June.
I wanted to play one of my favorite lines that Patrick Stewart had when they ask him, they're like, hey, we need to find this person. Again, everyone in this movie is not professional or good at their job. So this is how Patrick Stewart talks about a child molester. Take a listen.
Oh, yeah.
If I described one of the inmates to you, could you identify him?
Possibly.
Big man, fat, gray hair, birthmark on his face.
Jeffrey Sykes, the child murderer. Where did you get his description?
Where is he now?
He's in solitary confinement. He's been naughty.
He's been naughty. Yeah.
This is what always happens, though, because in Silence of the Lambs, it was the same thing. Chilton, he wants a piece of the pie. He's been spent. Oh. He's like all up in these mental people's business.
Yeah,
he likes being powerful over them because he's not powerful
in real
life. And then they don't want him. They keep taking him away for coffee or whatever,
right.
Or tea, I guess I should say, if it's Britain.
Yeah.
Right? And then he asks for it. He's like, but these are my patients. I should be a part of
it. Yeah, I want to be in that thing.
Yeah.
But at that point, they're tricking him.
Yeah.
They know that.
I liked
me
that
too.
Turnaround.
Yeah. Well, again, let's just talk about.
Because he actually had the woman's spirit in him, right?
Yes. Patrick Stewart was the evil one right from the start. But
he just was, though?
I think it transferred.
Okay.
But this brings up the big point. What are the powers of the vampires?
Yes.
I don't know. Let's break it down. What can they do?
Suck your life energy out.
Right. We know that.
Right.
Through your mouth.
In order to do that, they have to do the French kiss.
No, you have to just put your open mouth maybe like 6 inches from the other person's open mouth.
To suck their life. Yeah. All right. So that's one thing.
But it looks a lot like a kiss. More often than not,
it does.
Sometimes they kiss.
It's kiss-like.
Right, and they also, like, they do that thing that vampires do where they, like, lull you into attraction.
Yes. What's that called? Glimmering?
Ooh.
Glamming?
It's called...
Glomming? What is it? Do you know?
Glamouring.
Well, that's what they called it in Twilight. Is that what they called it in, like, Bram Stoker's?
I think that is...
That seems like a vampire
term. I think it's...
Thomas, do you know about vampire terms?
Yes.
No.
Come on, man! God damn it.
So wait. All right. So but I want to try to list them and just see. I hear glamping. Is that true? No.
No.
They really go glamping with them. Gleaming?
I don't think that's right.
I don't know. All right. So
glamoring.
Glamoring is the Twilight term, but was it around?
The act performed by a vampire to hypnotize human beings into submission so they can drink their blood and have control over them.
Also known as something else?
Oh.
Scroll down, thesaurus. Thesaurus.
No, that's all I have.
Yeah, I don't know. I just see a lot of videos about vampire hypnosis. All right, so we know that they can suck the life force. They have some sort of glamoring or glamping. What else?
Glamping is glamorous. Camping.
Hey, everybody. Sorry to interrupt the podcast. We just had to take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's sponsor is Casper Mattresses. They are an obsessively engineered American-made mattress at a shockingly fair price. That's right. If there's one thing Americans do best, it's sleep and make beds, okay? I have a Casper. I got it through here. And let me tell you, at first, hint, I was like, oh, it comes in a box? I'm suspect. But then I slept on it, and it is amazing, okay? You spend a third of your life sleeping. Think of that, a third of your life. Let's make sure you're doing it on a good mattress, okay? They have these two comfy technologies that are working together for better nights and brighter days, right? They got this latex foam and memory foam. I'm going to say that again. Latex foam and memory foam. What does that mean? Well, that means that you got the right sink and the right bounce no matter how you sleep. I had an expensive mattress, a very expensive mattress. And I'm going to tell you, this mattress kicks its ass. We look at each other, my wife and I, and we go, this mattress is good. I can tell you with all authority, you're going to love the way you sleep. Now, for $500, you get a twin size. That's good. For $950, you get a king size. Compare that to the industry averages. You can't because it's so damn low, okay? Now, you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/how and using the code HOW, H-O-W. Here's the deal. We all say, ooh, I want to make a website with that. Ooh, I want to sell something like that. Ooh, I need to update my portfolio. But we never do it. That's the truth, right? We never do it. Unless you're one of those like people who are really good at HTML and or you pay a lot of money, whatever. It's hard to make an online site that's not like a part of like Twitter or Instagram, like to really make a professional online site or just a fun personal one where you can share your thoughts and ideas. And Squarespace makes it so easy. Let me tell you. I made this comedy special with Rob Hubel, and we were going to release it ourselves. And we were putting up on Vimeo, and Vimeo came to us, and they said, we want to release it. But they didn't have a website that I thought did our special justice. So I went and in one night made a website for Crash Test that had clips and pictures and text. It was so easy, and it was actually so fun. You can actually see it on crashtestshow.com. And I'm getting tweets from people. I'm getting emails from people saying, I did it too. I made this website. And why are they doing it, and why are they having fun doing it? Because it's intuitive. It's easy to use. Squarespace, okay, will even give you a free domain if you sign up for a year, okay? So you can start your free trial site today at squarespace.com, okay? When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, and you make sure you use the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, for 10% off your first purchase. Now look, just try it. Just see how easy it is. Just go to squarespace.com and check it out. They got 24/7 customer support. They got a million different templates that you can just use. In 5 minutes, I can guarantee you're working on something that is better than you ever thought possible. All you need is a little bit of drive and a little bit of vision, and Squarespace will take you the rest of the way. Squarespace, build it beautiful. All right, now back to the show. Let's just see if we can go around the circle and see how many things we can figure out what they do. All right, so they suck the life force, right? We got that.
They can take over your body?
Yes, but this is a question.
But I couldn't figure out what happened. Like when she
they suck you dry.
Yeah.
But then that body comes back to
2 hours.
2 hours later. But that basically means they've turned you into a vampire, right, who now needs to suck someone else dry. Remember
but then why does some explode?
Oh, because when they don't feed.
When they don't get somebody else's energy.
Yeah, when they feed, they turn to dust. Oh, I thought that was a very effective scene. The scene where the doctor... Okay.
Wait, in the basement?
Yes.
When they're locked in the cells with storage?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the guy who's the doctor who's been turned in runs against like a chain link fence and explodes into dust. I thought that was pretty good.
And the little squatty guy who we never knew what his deal was.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gets it all over.
Yes. All right, so far these seem like normal vampire things.
But I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, so like for example, when Carlson gets hypnotized and he sees Ellen, curly red-haired woman, and he's like, she's changed bodies, about the pretty alien girl. Mm-hmm. How do they change bodies? Like, how come Matilda May was able to take over Ellen's body? What happened to Matilda May's body? Because it still exists, obviously. It's later in the movie.
It's hidden.
It's hidden.
They said it's hidden.
She's not a shapeshifter. That's what I was going to say.
She's not a shapeshifter because the red-haired British woman is a nurse at the hospital.
She can create herself in the image of whatever it is you desire. She kind of is a shapeshifter.
Is she the shape of Patrick Stewart's perfect woman? Oh, I don't know.
No.
But I guess the question is, if she's shapeshifting, because I think what it is more she goes inside and puppeteers a flesh body.
Right, because there's two minds.
Okay. Yeah.
There's two minds. So Ellen is existing beside this woman.
Okay, so they're both in there.
Beside the space girl. Why didn't they ever give her a name?
Yeah. Space girl is
there. That sucks.
And by the way, they have control over glass. They can break glass at any given point.
I think it's all energy connected.
Yeah, okay. They almost have in the spaceship, like Darth Vader, like they can choke you out with their like hands almost, like telekinesis or something
and then past telekinesis, they have like Emperor from Star Wars powers where they shoot
lightning bolts
out.
Yeah.
You would think you just need one or the other.
But
you
those
don't
lightning
need
bolts seem a lot like the energy that erupts when they're sucking the life force out of you. Like it's the same special effect.
And then there's some life force that's blue and some life force that's red.
The red is their essence, right?
Oh.
It's what shoots out
when they're dying.
That's what I was going to say. The red, I think, is bad life force. I think it's them dying.
Yeah, but when Patrick Stewart and that dude were in the back of the helicopter, and then we never saw that dude again.
Yeah.
Remember the blood came out of the blood poured sucked out of them
when Patrick Stewart melted.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. When they had the two vomit blood. Yeah.
Yeah. Became a globule, and then it formed into her.
Yes.
And then she spoke to him.
Yes.
And then she shot down through the bottom of the.
But
helicopter.
Did she shoot down or did she just explode?
Oh, I thought she just like melted, like fell apart into a puddle of blood. Which
like it was like you didn't cook the jello long enough and it just was still a sloppy mess.
Yeah, sloppy jello mess.
But then
she was around somewhere else.
Albeit a sexy sloppy jello mess.
Oh my gosh.
Always.
She was really
sexy. She didn't look any less beautiful when she was just a naked body composed of blood.
It's the same thing in True Blood. Do you guys ever watch, did you ever see True Blood?
No, I did not.
So there was this kind of a finale moment where Bill and anyone who becomes this whatever high queen vampire is covered in, she's like total blood.
Yeah.
That's all she is. And she's sexy as shit.
Ugh. That's so hot.
I mean, look.
That's so hot.
I mean, this movie is walking a line of sexuality, terror, fear,
there
allegory.
There is so much sex in this movie. Everybody
But
fucks.
No dudes ever kissed. I wanted to see
Patrick
two dudes.
Stewart
yes.
and Carlson
kiss. No, Patrick Stewart and Carlson kiss. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I thought they got
close.
Nope, they kissed.
No, they kissed.
Sorry. They kissed.
That was when they decided to pull him apart.
And their dick holes kissed. Like little tiny dick mouths.
Well,
but that was like off, that was
that.
Off screen.
That was in
that
the
was off screen. But I did draw it. I have a pretty, sexy drawing of it. And Patrick Stewart's dick
looks
just like him because got a bald
little
head.
Hair on the side of the
just
head
a little hair on the side thought, of his bald head, dick head.
I thought you were going to say it was going to come out like the Starship Enterprise.
And then it says engage.
And he's like, and then when he comes,
make
it's a photon
come.
Torpedo.
And then it just goes come.
Come number one.
The Mr. Data. Oh, Mr. Data.
Make it so.
I do want to, so again, just to get through, so they can suck the life force, they have telekinesis, they have
perfect tits.
They have perfect tits, they have perfect ass, they can, but they seem there seems to be a lot of powers, and then sometimes it's like they shoot him in the head, and they're
they don't nothing happens.
Nothing happens, but then sometimes they get shot and they're hurt.
But that was maybe when they were dying, when they were like in the 2 hour period between.
But that one, they had not fully turned. Yeah. Okay, so you can shoot them in the head there.
And the super bad guys, like those two naked dudes,
you couldn't
kill them until the grenades get thrown.
Right.
They were able to blow their bodies apart, but they were shot repeatedly with machine guns to no effect.
But the grenades didn't matter because then they just jumped into somebody else's body.
Right.
And then all of a sudden London
But that's another thing. They can just jump willy-nilly into other people's bodies.
I don't know why they wouldn't have done that right the minute that they saw
people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just jump into the whole crew, land the ship?
Because they didn't know how. But if two minds exist at once, they would have that.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they have
information?
That
it would have been a much shorter movie.
Carlson appears to be able to like ride the line between like.
Because he is one of them.
But that's my question. So, yeah. Is Carlson one of them? Or is he like. At one point they go, these vampires were on Earth already. Now they're coming back.
Yeah.
So is he one of the old vampires? Is he a vampire, or are they just kindred spirits?
I think he's Tommy Lee Jones. I've said that already. But I think also, no, I think his like DNA, like his ancestors were, maybe he was like a product
part
of a vampire. Yeah.
All right, and that's why he gets to go up with her to the spaceship that escapes.
I kept thinking that she was trying to get Preggs by either Bukowski.
That's what I thought too.
Or Carlson.
Yeah. Well, the other guy I want to talk about, and we haven't talked about the lead of the movie, the British good guy, the guy
Kane?
With the curly
Kane.
Kane, who I thought had the best character thing. Like, yes, the movie takes place in London, so he is wearing a leather jacket, but he has to wear like a rain jacket trench coat over a leather jacket. Like, really belittles your coolness. Like, yeah, I'll put on my leather coat and then
it's raining.
Yeah, I don't want to get the leather
coat. He wasn't ruffled by anything except for.
He's a bad actor. I mean, and we don't really ever say that, but like,
not great.
Not like. To a point where I'm like, I don't know what his reaction. Sometimes like, and then sometimes like, oh, interesting. Like, I can't tell where their middle ground was.
It was very, I will agree. It was very, I was also just very confused. But nobody appeared to be like, nobody appeared to be surprised that this was happening.
No.
Nobody, like, genuine, like, reactions would have been catastrophic.
Well, I wrote down that Brits are bad to be horrified.
Yes.
Because they have... Mm-hmm.
They're almost like, too polite.
Yeah.
Part of British society being so polite is to be like, oh, well, aliens then. Okay, well, this is what you sound like, England. Yeah, we're taking you to task. Glad this get made versus England.
We're taking you guys to
task.
Well, they were so civilized, that's why they needed to occasionally throw in the really bombastic Brit, like the doctor who walks into the room and literally like stands in the door with like he's just like making faces. They cut them like four times, and that doctor was a partner with the other doctor from the first lab, who was just like almost orgasming. Like, like they had to put in like two ringer Brits to show you like no, people should be scared.
This is a big deal. At 36:35, there was a reaction in the autopsy room that made the movie for me.
Really?
It was like a guy that you never look at, you never see. He's like number four in the autopsy. And as this guy's getting turning into nothingness coming back to life.
They're all just watching.
Yeah.
They're all just watching.
You just stand around as this guy, as it all approaches, right?
Yep.
Anyway, he gets a feature.
That the guy you're talking about is exactly my bombastic Brit. That is another one of the.
Wait for it. That's not him.
Oh, that's not him. Oh.
That guy.
No, that's what I meant. That's the guy. That's the guy who's almost orgasming. He is. He is a real beardo. Who is
a
just
real weirdo beardo.
He is really just. Yeah, he's like looks like he's coming.
But then we never see him again. That was it.
No,
that's a very hard thing that they don't teach very much in British acting schools is how to be afraid. So a lot of them just end up using their cum faces. A lot of British horror movies are just a lot of
the cum. Have you ever had sex in Britain? It's terrifying.
Oh, it's it is horrifying.
this movie, there's
that's
so
what you sound like when you have sex, England. Yeah, eat shit.
At one point, I wrote that when London is in flames, I said, oh, man, a lot of people are rioting on this back lot. It was like one city block. It looked like it was like on Universal Studios. Yes, you have $25 million, but it did not go to that set at all.
How was all of London? Had all of London become these vampires?
Yes, they had to cordon it off.
All the entire city.
And so much so that when he defeats everyone in the church at the end, he's just standing in a pile of dead bodies. This is kind of like
cathedral.
A prequel to a British Walking Dead or something like this.
100%.
Very zombie-like.
Yeah.
When people get turned into those scary vampires at the end, they chase after people. They don't just stay... kind of hollow raisin people.
No.
Although that would have been awesome.
After 2 hours, they come back to life.
And have to feed or explode.
Right.
I want to talk about it. I just remembered it right now. The other ridiculous face was when they're in the helicopter. Do you remember that guy? So they're in the helicopter, like some guy, they're flying, and the helicopter pilot just looks behind.
Oh, yeah.
Like the helicopter's flying.
And then can't fly the helicopter.
And then they're like, Lieutenant, you have to get control.
But he literally is like, this movie had some great reactions. Oh, my God.
The reaction when the alien dude is taken in the blue light.
Yes.
And then when he stabs him with the sword and then gets flung backwards onto a pile of dead bodies and then transforms into that crazy, like, winged creature.
Yeah, like that. Like, it looked like
a
stop motion.
You know what it was? It was the bat from the beginning. It was the bat.
Because they only
turned... That was supposed to be Billy Idol, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
Serious.
They live as bats. Their natural form is bats.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Wait a second. No.
Now,
really?
When did you realize this?
Because she says it.
Where?
Then why are they in the crystal tubes?
Because they looked into their minds when they were approaching and turned themselves into a form that they would find attractive.
But when they go up at the end, are they back as babies?
Don't know.
Okay. They were back in baby form.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
that's just what she says in that scene.
But does she say our default mode is bats?
He says something like, "What are all those bats or whatever?" And she said, "These are not our bodies.
Oh.
We looked into your minds and we took the form of that which you would find most attractive or whatever."
She's really a bat.
She's really a bat.
They're
person.
All those bat people.
They're all bats. All the other bats are just dead.
Right.
They're the last three, and it looks like they've been feeding off each other to stay alive.
That's crazy. How would they do that since they're bats?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
You're
saying the logic of this movie doesn't add up?
Well, they go up into the artichoke at the end, and it seems like they've succeeded. I expected when they got stabbed that would blow up the
artichoke?
Well, I don't know. It felt like it was like an
umbrella.
An umbrella.
There's
maybe
that umbrella at the space artichoke. I like that though.
It does look like a vegetable.
Yeah.
It's 150 miles long.
Yes.
Yes.
And 200 miles tall.
2 miles.
Sorry.
2 miles.
Sorry. Yeah.
The width of it is 2 miles.
It's very phallic, too.
And it's hidden within the comet.
In the front of the comet?
Yeah, something like that.
Avril Haley, who pulls all of our clips, did pull one that I think is funny. She said that the description of how to kill the vampires seems to be like a Monty Python sketch. So if you listen to the description and just picture it as like a sketch, it kind of works. So this is how you kill vampires.
But I killed one of them.
One of which?
One of the two male vampires. One of the transformed ones.
How did you kill him, Philotta? How?
The old way, Carlson. A leaded metal shaft penetrating not through the heart, but through the energy center 2 inches below the heart. Not steel, but leaded iron.
It does, partially
because of the accents.
It just that it is very specific. The leaded steel sword that he has from...
It's supposed to be a stake through the heart. Steel is for werewolves.
Yeah, wooden stake is supposed to be...
Silver is for werewolves.
Silver.
Yeah, wooden stake
silver
through the
bullet?
Heart. We've all watched Buffy. Come on.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Well, Thomas,
what?
We normally
do that right now. Let's shut this episode down and watch...
Every episode.
I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to watch
that. That should
Gilmore
be our
Girls.
Gilmore Guys, Jason. You and me go back through...
By the way, that would be really fun.
I would love to do that.
I would do Buffy. Oh, and when we get to Hush, I'm going to freak out.
Oh, it's so good.
It's an entire episode that is silent. silent.
It's so
because
good.
Demons come and steal everybody's voices.
But it's not as good as the one, The Body.
The Body.
Oh, The Body's a great one. Whoa, hey, hold that thought. One more quick break, and then we'll be back with the show. Listen up! Listen up! Movie tickets are hitting all-time records, okay? You want to go see a movie on a Friday? Well, you better get that ticket in on Monday, okay? Because people want to make sure they're seeing the film on opening weekend, especially Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. I know I bought my ticket. Oh, I bought my ticket the minute you could buy tickets. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be smart for you to go get your tickets at the theater. No, 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 no. You got to use Fandango. You got to see J.J. Abrams' brand new movie on opening weekend before someone tells you, oh my gosh, Darth Vader came back and he totally like made out with C-3PO. You don't want that spoiled for you. So how do you do it? You get guaranteed tickets in advance, even for blockbuster films like Star Wars, using Fandango. You can go online or get the app on the phone. I have the app on the phone, and it's great. Okay? I love Fandango. Why do I love Fandango? Because wherever I am, in the middle of the day, at lunch, in a meeting, I go, oh, shit, I want to get tickets. I go get it right there. And no one has to know what I'm doing. Oh, yeah, I'm responding to a text. No, I'm just buying tickets for the most anticipated movie of all time. Carrie Fisher is back. Finally, John Boyega, yes, the Bay, Daisy Ridley, she's called Ray, Ray is Bay. Anyway, here's the deal. What I love about Fandango is it makes everything super easy. You search by movie, theater, you see what your options are, then you get guaranteed tickets in advance, all right? Now, here's the thing that I love. If you become a Fandango VIP, which I am, not to brag, you can have hassle-free returns. I've actually done that, okay? You can return your tickets. So just sit on your tickets so you make sure that you have that option. So then when your friends want to go out, be like, hey, bro, or hey, bae, I already got those fucking tickets, man. I got them on the Fandango website or I got them on the Fandango app. People won't ask you specifics, but we'll know, and we've shared this information. So use Fandango to get tickets in advance for Star Wars Episode 7 today or any movie you want to see this weekend. Download the Fandango app or go online to Fandango.com. And if you want free movie tickets, stay tuned to How Did This Get Made's Twitter page. I'm giving away free pairs of tickets. I already gave away my first pair of ticket for the best weirdest Halloween movie-themed costume. I know that's a long one, but it was really good. So Fandango, just fan-do it. Okay, we're almost back to the show, but before I let you go, remember, log on to earwolf.com and leave your corrections and omissions for Life Force. I will read them on next week's mini-episode. You guys are great. Back to the show. Thomas, we normally do this at the live show, but if you have any questions that you would like to pose to us, we can maybe take a crack at trying to answer any questions. I don't want to put you on the spot if you don't have one. Well, there's plenty more to talk about, but is there anything that,
about the movie?
About the movie. About this movie.
How good-looking we are in person and how shocked you are at that. Well, you know,
that's great, yeah. The thing I thought was really funny was just them just deciding to kind of jump in on the alien ship. Like, there's a huge alien ship. Let's just go in.
Yeah, they had no hesitation to put on those suits.
Yeah, they don't attempt to make contact. They don't do anything. They're just like, well, we're going in. And when they're like, oh, we're losing your radio signal and your video signal, they're like, let's go deeper into the ship.
Yeah. And there are plenty of dead animals in there too. Plenty of warning signs to be like, do not enter.
I remember in real life, they're actually not allowed to even interact with water on Mars because it's some weird like international law thing.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to touch it.
I think it's an intergalactic law, Tom.
Right. But with this, they're just kind of like, yeah, let's just go check it out. And then they see bats and you'd think they would just turn around and leave right away.
And they are. They're like, great. And the guy's literally like, okay, bag that one up. We're going to take that with us. We're going to take all three of these guys with us.
Bad idea.
And it's almost like they haven't seen Alien.
Carlson was...
It's 1985. The movie came out 8 years ago.
Looks like Carlson seen American was already London. Feeling drawn to her.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately before...
Oh, so you're right. So he was like...
He was like, we're going in. Yep. You remember the first thing he was like, we're going in.
Here's the deal. He knows those tits are in there.
Yeah.
Well, is that his wife?
Sometimes I walk by a bar...
anybody's family.
No.
We didn't know. I thought maybe it was like the image of his dead
wife. That's what I thought,
too. I also didn't understand why it took 6 months to get there, but then it seemed like they were relatively back very quickly. The space shuttle came back.
That's a good point. And it was much heavier than before because it's got those three glass cases of people in there. And it's carrying two of the heaviest tits in town. What?
They're weightless in space, Dick.
Oh, that's why they're so good. because gravity isn't pulling them to the ground.
That's right. That's why they've maintained their shape for so long.
That's perfect.
You
that
know, she was 62 when she shot this.
What?
Yes. Retirement age. Well, and she was like, I can't be a dancer anymore.
So I'll be a nude model, a nude actress.
Is that your French?
Yep. Oh, she's French. I'm sorry. Sorry. Yes. There'll be a new.
Nah, you know, she was in. She was in a Spanish film called "The Moon and the Tit." It's called El Tete.
No, it's not.
La Luna. Look it up. I swear to God.
So is that her thing? Is her thing that she's always naked? Is that her?
She sounds like
your kind of girl.
My dream girl, literally.
There would you go out with her now?
I would. Matilda May. How? Where are we at here? She's age 50. 100%. I would go on a date with her.
She's 50.
That's what it says.
It says Matilda May at La Danse de Hip Hop.
1985. She would have been.
She was 18 when she shot it.
No.
Yes.
Is that right?
Oh, yep. dirty boy.
Dirty, Zoinks. Dirty. Oh, I'm still into it. That is very upsetting, though. Jason, she's 18? You know what? I'm still into it.
During the Carlson...
she's been in a lot of stuff.
Hypnotized scene. Oh, sorry. Jason, there was a headboard behind Carlson. I was like, Jason would buy this. Do you remember it?
I don't.
It was like a mid-century,
funny.
Dark brown, waffle headboard.
I'm into it.
Did you see the Luna? Did you see
I'm gonna look
the
it right
movie?
Now.
Right there.
Oh, yeah. La Teta.
La Teta y la Luna.
And it's, it's literally a picture of tits.
It's a tit and a moon.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And is the moon a butt? No, it's a moon. I see.
No,
the moon could
moon.
Be a butt.
She's in The Jackal as well. She's been in a lot. Sorry, not three. A lot.
She's in 40. She has 45 credits?
All right, she's
that's
a real deal.
Not nothing.
That's great.
But she is still beautiful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Beautiful she's gorge. She's gorgeous. Call me. Matilda May, call me.
Wow. Matilda May, get on that phone. There's so much going on here, too, at the end with Carlson. This is what I thought was interesting. Did they say that essentially the male vampire's in total control? Like at one point they go like the male vampire's in control, that controls her, and that's he's like sending her out, and she's sending the stuff up to the ship. There's one that you didn't see.
Oh,
I thought it was the opposite. I thought the dudes could not do anything without going through her.
Oh, okay.
She was the conduit.
She was the queen bee?
Yeah, she's the queen bee, and they're just like doing her bidding.
Okay, so she's running the ship even though
Are they turning... Does London go insane because they're just turning everybody into vampires?
So everyone's sucking each other. It's like a zombie attack.
It's like a zombie. That's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah. Okay, great. But they're not biting everybody, right?
They're just sucking. But like if I suck Lennon would suck you, and then you would suck Thomas. Yeah, we just all boom.
But once we
I get
all,
to suck Thomas?
Yeah.
All right.
Once we get sucked, we have to keep sucking. That's the whole thing.
Right, you have to keep on going.
Until there's nobody left.
Every 2 hours. By the way, that's a crazy thing. Every 2 hours they have to feed. Or they turn into dust?
Well, I think until you like
get sent up to the mothership,
or get like enough energy.
Cool. Until you're cool.
Well,
enough?
No, I don't think so.
Because then you can jump bodies. I don't know.
Oh no, I think only the three can jump bodies, right?
I don't know that anybody.
I think
else,
Thomas is nodding. Is that only
when
the three.
Do you get turned into a bat though?
Maybe that's like a couple of years in or something like that.
They should have at the end both turned into those bat creatures, fucking each other, and then get sucked up into that thing. That would have been a better ending.
Was there a line in this movie too where it was like, she's totally dangerous? Like they,
I'm sure there was.
They're like
said, the formality
Bukowski
with which British
said,
people speak is
overwhelmingly sexual and horrible.
Yes.
That's what he said about her.
The description of how attracted people are to her was so bombastic and over the top and always true.
Remember when my favorite
beautiful.
Part was, well.
I think I'm being glamored from within the movie.
You probably are.
We all are glamored.
I think I'm in love with her.
Did you
the
see,
alien girl
did you
from
see
the movie.
Ex Machina?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a similar, similar, right?
Yes. Yes, and Under the Skin.
Yeah, yeah.
There is this control of a beautiful woman manipulating that she's getting you by sexuality, but she's got something bigger planned. But she actually did like Carlson. But then when that old pervy man
in
the car.
Wasn't she like a representation of Carlson in a weird way?
Yeah.
So that is Carlson. So Carlson's a lead vampire?
Is he
Carlson essentially became an astronaut to bring his
people
back.
Is he in love with himself?
So he could go away.
Without knowing that, yes.
Wow.
Oh, so he was like a sleeper cell, an unknown sleeper cell, like a Manchurian candidate.
I think so.
So he could have been the big boss man. Because when they go up at the end, that ship doesn't destroy.
No.
It just takes off for another day.
For another 70 years or whatever? 100 and something years?
I mean,
till the next Halley's Comet?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Well, but no, I think now they'll go to another planet.
Was there any kind of conjecture?
Where there are people, though?
Because there's stuff that I missed. Know. Was there any conjecture as to whether this had happened the last time Halley's Comet had happened?
Well, that would be ridiculous because we have that on record.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Like, okay. I mean, but no, but I, like, okay. Yeah, no, no, that's, but I mean, but the way that they set it up.
Yeah.
Is as if it lives in Halley's
That's
Comet.
What I mean, yeah.
But yet it doesn't make any sense because it was like, yeah, there's no reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
The
I love to, he screams at her, why are you so perfect? He's so mad. Carlson is so mad at her. It's like
he's very
it's like
mad
a
at her.
Guy who has been like betrayed by a woman.
Yeah.
And is like, why have you done this to me? You've made me act in an unconscionable way. What are you doing to me? You're so beautiful. And then I can't stop. Make out. He's, every time he is presented with her, he cannot not fuck her.
Well, because he knows
but
that she's
are
evil.
Are they fucking? Are they just making out? We never saw.
I think they're just making out, which is more intense than
the making
fucking,
out. She like doesn't look like she knows how to make out. She also
she knows
she's
how to
like,
make out.
Her eyes
she
are always open.
She does know how to
confused.
Open her eyes and smize, as Tyra Banks would say.
Oh yeah,
which is like a flash of the yeah. eye.
Oh,
it's wow. like a widening. It's sort of like what Kristen Wiig did when she did Nancy Pelosi impression. Okay. It's like the eyes flare open.
I like the smizing. We should make that into a movie.
Smize. Yeah.
Smize and shine.
I think Tyra Banks probably has TM'd that.
Oh, TB TM'd it?
Yeah. TB TM'd it. Ew. Let me ask
TB
you this.
TM'd it if, while she was on the T having a BM.
This is only something that Meredith May could do.
Matilda May?
Whatever her name is.
Meredith Vieira?
Tits, that's all. Tits
Sweet
aplenty.
Tits McGee?
Like... Because when she walked through, everybody, even like a science facility, nobody was like, hey, straight up, don't be walking around here. Everybody was like, all right,
yeah.
That's a blimey taste or whatever, right?
Oh, that's a blimey taste. Oh, man, right, brought me right back into the movie. That's,
remember
by
when
the
those,
way, that's what you
wait,
idiots sound like.
Remember,
that's what you sound like, London.
Remember when those dudes were admitting that they were like going into the park to see if they could watch
oh, yeah.
the two girls?
Oh, yes. 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 By the
and
way,
they were like,
I get
if we
it.
Could pink it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and then the guy goes, "No, oh, how about this? How about this? How about when Carlson and the British Carlson Carter?
Oh, the voyeur.
Yes, he's
oh,
like
shit.
He's like this woman's a masochist. It's gonna basically he's like I'm going to have I'm to rape have this woman in order to get the
information out of
alien
her.
Girl information out of her. And the guy sits down. And he's like, you might want to get out. And the guy sits down and goes, don't worry, I'm a natural voyeur. And I was like, ew.
Yeah, that's
you
nasty.
Fucking creep.
Wait, now I'm thinking about something else too. The guy who she picked up in the car, right?
Yeah.
Who didn't seem into it. Like he was kind of titillated, but like not like he wasn't like let's grab. Like she had to really lift up yeah. her skirt. And then they just fucked apparently for a long time. It's like oh he wouldn't go. He wouldn't stop talking about how
right.
exhausted he is. So she just fucked him, but she didn't take any essence from him.
She took some life essence because he's tired.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that,
remember,
yeah.
there's like a remember like it,
he's
too,
in the
like,
hospital,
in the
right?
Remember how the
too.
Prime minister was like?
No, he was like a disaster. The
yeah,
prime
he
minister.
Was about yeah. to eat that woman's face.
Come here,
Mrs. Havisham.
Poor thing.
Isn't that the
Great
name?
Great Expectations?
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Absolutely.
Come here. He's like grabbing.
Oh, right this way, right this way, Miss Havisham.
And then that again is like it's like there's such a weird sexual component to it of like
100%.
Men are powerless, and he's like woman, come here, but it's not sex. It's like. Yeah. The life energy
and those
her.
Dudes are just like, see, you wouldn't want to be you. And they like hit it, right? They don't even stay.
They look around.
And say, hey, by the way, Prime Minister's a fucking
yeah,
zombie.
Prime Minister
vampire.
Of England is a straight up space vampire, as is all the people in this bunker. Let's get in the helicopter and she's out of here.
No, but yeah. my question is, if any woman were to take all their clothes off
I'm
and
listening.
Walk down a flight of stairs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do they have like ultimate control?
Okay, wait yeah. a minute.
100%.
Any woman?
No, Matilda May.
Matilda May.
No,
yes.
I'm not talking about. I'm saying, does this work for say like a lay person?
Oh, a regular, a norm,
regular.
An uggo?
Yeah.
Are we talking an uggo?
Are we talking an uggo?
Not
are we talking a
you're
regular?
Saying, just you're
a real
just saying
grosso?
A real like a six or seven
woman who maybe has a season one and two of a television show.
Oh wait a second. Are you trying
okay,
to walk
wait
down?
A second.
No. All right.
Wait a
you
second.
Know what?
Well, here's the thing.
First,
we there are, here at Earwolf headquarters, there are a flight of stairs.
We can so only Lennon, put this to the test.
Thomas
saying,
can be the control. He doesn't uh-huh. know you. He's your mystery.
But
to him.
He's biased because he's heard me be really crazy funny today.
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
oh yeah, yeah.
He, you know, if you know how talented I am,
right, then it's a separate
thing. Like if you're just I've had a baby. There's some stuff. You know, like, I don't know. Her body was flawless.
She's 18. Do
you have to be a flawless 18-year-old with size E breasts?
I think if any woman is walking with a air of not crazy,
yes,
like she was not.
That wasn't crazy.
She's walking controlled.
Controlled.
Quiet.
She's a crazy bitch.
If you act like you're in control, if you act like you're in control, you're in control. You know, and if you look like that,
she was walking around like she was going to fuck everybody that crossed her path. Yes,
and she basically did.
So if you take all your clothes off and just walk down a flight of stairs, like, hey, I'm going to fuck you.
No. No, I mean, in the real world, that would be insane.
If you know, think of this. You're at a Christmas party.
Go.
Someone walks in totally naked, and they don't seem to be like,
one knows.
They don't seem to be like, what?
I was like one of those British doctors who was reacting to a heart attack. But if they just walk in.
That's Marianne from Brooklyn, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Howard!
If they walk in just like, I just am not wearing clothes today. I think people
if
would be
if nobody,
intrigued.
It depends, because it'd be like a crowd reaction, right?
Yeah.
What's interesting is something you would very normally do in everyday life, walk down a flight of stairs in your house naked, alone.
Well, okay,
if there were simply people there, that would seem to be insane. Right?
But if people are like, did you invite her? Maybe this is an act. Somebody pay for this?
Oh, yeah. It's like one of those sushi girls where you put sushi on me.
Oh, shit. And she's got a great body.
One of those
body.
Sushi
like,
girls.
She's not a, you know, just a regular Uggo or whatever.
No, she's not a Harry Grosso.
Yeah.
I think what I would think it would do?
If
it was just one person walking into a room, walking down a flight of stairs, you would stop in your tracks, and I don't think you would have an immediate response, and that's what she was calling on. The fact that she was a vampire made her seduce them all instantly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing is, I think she was glamoring people. When
they saw her ankles, from ankles up, they're like, whoa, hey. And then that allowed them to get hit with the telekinesis, and then they're in.
And what Paul says is true, and I want to make sure this is clear, because I know I've been talking a lot about her boobs, but her ankles were amazing.
Were really great ankles.
Her whole body. Her whole body.
So good. Obviously,
T to B, an A.
Well, obviously, we had some opinions about this movie, but now it is time for Second Opinions.
Second Opinions. This segment's called Second Opinion. I'm a big fan of your podcast. I listen to it all the time. I know the theme song to Second Opinion.
There it is.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty amazing.
Tremendous.
I wish I wrote down who wrote that, but
it was overwhelmingly
good on you.
Sexual.
That's pretty good. And let that be the first of many. Please, everybody.
Send them in.
Send us your second opinions theme songs. There are no set lyrics.
No,
I'm going to record one on GarageBand and send it to you guys.
Please do.
Ooh, I love it. Please, that'd be amazing.
Is it going to be under your singer-songwriter pseudonym, Kesha?
No.
You're Kesha without the dollar.
You're Kesha, K-E-S-H-A, regular.
Yeah.
No stars, no money.
It's actually pronounced Keisha.
So these are Second Opinions culled from Amazon, and they are great. I'm going to go out online. They're a little bit long, but they're great. Here we go. This is from Patrick Scoggins, written in 2013. This movie was well ahead of its time, storytelling-wise. Premise and just around acting. Space vampires?
Ahead of its time acting was?
Oh,
just around
I mean,
acting.
It was just, I mean, this acting like this won't be really accepted for many years.
Yeah.
Vampires, telekinesis, half-breeds, zombies, you can't go wrong. Watched this movie with my dad when I was a kid and watched it recently with my kids. Nothing too extreme for kiddos.
What?
Just be sure you're enforcing the difference between real life and art and it will be fine.
What?
5 stars.
No. Wait.
There's one thing I can tell you is that this movie is not okay for kiddos.
If I had seen this movie as a child, things would have been different. If I'd seen those boobs as a kid, like I think my
you
I
would
think,
never have dated anyone ever. You would have
yeah,
never
I think
ever
everyone
been
would
in a
be
relationship.
Up to
I would be
limit.
Dead by now.
Would you just be jerking it to
I
the limit?
Yes. I would be dead.
You would have got your life force would have been sucked out by her
exactly.
by yourself.
Like the Dark Crystal.
That would have been a crazy way to suck the guy's life force out of just like that.
Right through his dick?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Happens.
Let's make that movie.
They call it The Little Death.
You have a child. I have a child. Would you show your child this?
No way. In fact, when I was watching the last half of it this morning, my toddler walked in and I had to slam the laptop shut because there was... Everything is terrifying.
Everything. And nudity and everything. And sex. This is from Gary.
The kids should see nudity and sex. Like, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Sesame Street in Europe, they have
titties,
a lot of nudity.
Not those titties, though. Ooh, not those.
Those titties are dangerous.
This is by Gray Lensman from 2005. The theatrical release of this movie made me a long-time Matilda May fan. She is a beautiful French actress and evidently the third movie of her career. She excellently portrays her space vampire character with a fair number of nude scenes that leave most male audience members wishing there were more. The DVD release does seem to have a little extra footage of the dream sequence, but that's about it. Most of the extra footage doesn't appear to have been Matilda May related at all, unfortunately. But how's the movie? It's great. It's a true classic that belongs in any sci-fi buff's video library because it's a splendid combination of horror, science fiction, and erotic Matilda May overtones.
Oh, boy.
5 stars.
5 stars from reviewer Real Creep.
Oh, God.
And this is the one that I loved in the casual nature. We have not yet gotten a review like this. It's so casual that I kind of loved it. 5 stars from London O. Cromwell. A. An unusual kind of classic horror movie. A lot of British actors filmed in England. Fairly artistic and a joke in some parts, but with some real creepy moments. Sexy. That's what stood out about this movie to me as a kid. It's pretty sexy.
Kid.
It's pretty sexy. Traumatic and ridiculous all at the same time. She, the energy vampire chic. I think it's better to be a chick. Runs around London nude, seducing and leaving freeze-dried bodies in her wake. Anyway, it's a love story. This astronaut guy falls for the lead vampire chick, and she seems to like him too, because she won't suck him dry, and they have this telepathic communication thing happening. What I thought was cool is that vampires were electrical, and there's some pretty cool artistic special effects going on there. And as this is happening, various characters and scientists and government officials are running around trying to figure out what's going on. They use the lovesick astronaut guy to lead him to her, and they try to get her figure out her deal. By the way, there's a scene in a helicopter that was, all caps, very creepy, and it still creeps me out to this day. As a 27-year-old adult, I can't stand to think about it in the dark. Ew! Very scary! The helicopter scene. Worth it for that. That is...
He must have watched it when he was... If he's 27?
If you saw that as a child, that helicopter scene, no way.
No way.
Oh, thank you.
No?
That's a real blood fetish created right there.
And then this is... kind of we get this all the time, and we'll wrap it up here. But the one of the reviews I read on the page said this movie was good, but not a masterpiece. Wrong! This is an underrated, creative, and imaginative film. It is a masterpiece. This flick is beautiful. If you're not conditioned like most of the world, then you'll most likely love this flick. It's flat out different from anything you've ever seen before, and different in a great way. If you still have an imagination, if you try to watch these types of movies to turn into a little kid again, then this flick is for you. One more thing. A lot of reviews said this movie is hard to understand or that there are plot holes that insult your intelligence. Number one, come on, people. It's a movie. Don't take it so serious. Number two, all in caps. If you pay attention, the movie makes perfect sense. 5 stars. So there you go.
That guy was.
5 stars. Lennon, anything to add that we have not yet talked about here?
There was one moment where I laughed out loud, and that was when Matilda May... The shadow of her breasts preceded her. I laughed out loud, and it was joyful. It was probably within the first 20 minutes.
I love that. I love that all. Jason?
I will also say it was very entertaining. I don't feel bad about spending two
hours
watching this movie.
Would you recommend this movie?
I would recommend this movie, like, if you're getting high and, like, with your friends, or...
If you're getting high with strangers,
I would argue it's actually well shot.
Well, it's Toby Hooper.
Oh, yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
And isn't it Dan O'Bannon?
Oh, I've been
pronouncing
Tobe. I'm sorry. Yes.
Isn't it Dan O'Bannon who did, like, special effects?
No, it's actually Chloe Dykstra's dad, John Dykstra.
Oh.
That guy who did special effects that are kind of cool. He did Star Wars, Batman, yeah. Batman Forever, Spider-Man 1 and 2, Inglourious Bastards, Django, and Hateful Eight.
Yeah. So it's like legit people. I would say the first, you got to get through, like, 40 minutes of just gobbledygook nonsense.
Well, the issue seems to be, and this is something that you can read about on Slash Film a little bit more, the day they started production, they threw out the script and they started rewriting, and then when
like every great movie
and then towards the end of the movie they were running over budget, and they said, well, how many scenes we have to shut down production, how many scenes do you need to shoot? And he was like, about 17 more, and the producer said, well, pick your favorite five.
Oh, wow.
And we'll just shoot those. So there are some probably plot holes in that. So, Jason, you would recommend it.
Oh, yeah.
For getting high with strangers.
Super fun. Get high with strangers and watch this movie. And, I mean, like, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but the woman's boobs are, like, really phenomenal.
Wait, who?
Matilda May?
And
the alien girl?
What is she like in the movie? How would I recognize her from the movie?
She is the nude woman who has perfect breasts.
Okay, yes.
Breasts that a cartoon artist would... What?
Walking the stairs. Leonard's walking up the stairs. Oh, God. Everyone up. Lennon and Womp It Up on the 16th. Everybody, enjoy your Thanksgiving. Anything you have to plug, Jason?
Nope.
You could definitely check out Crash Test on Vimeo and iTunes. The League, the Rafi Dirty Randy episode this week. That's what you should be watching.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Is that this week?
That's this week.
Oh,
it'll be an animated episode.
Watch us. We are animated Rafi Dirty Randy. Go to Puerto Rico and have an adventure with a chupacabra.
And it's awesome. The Archer guy is animated. It looks great. Big shout out to Avril Halley, who pulls all of our clips. Nick Colley does all of our research. And everybody here at Earwolf, who helps put the whole show together. We appreciate you. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. And make sure you come out to January shows at Largo.
And read Blake's Slash Film oral history of this movie.
Oh, and if you are a fan of the characters running through doors, moviebitches.com has a collection of how many doors people run through in this movie. And you'll
be
surprised.
So many doors.
Funny.
So many doors. So go to Movie Bitches there, and it is called Endless Doors. Life Force, Endless Doors. All right, that is it. Thank you to Lennon, Binge Watcher Show. Thank you, Thomas, for coming all the way from Chicago. Do you want to say hello to anybody? Do you want to...
You have any plugs, Thomas?
Yeah.
No.
All right, Thomas.
Man a few words.
I love it.
But a true gentleman.
And thank you for your donation for Cool Ops Movie. I think you helped her make it. Which you did. All right, that's it. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Sean Clements from Hollywood Handbook, and that's an Earwolf podcast. And it's come to my attention that Earwolf and Howl has been doing a nefarious activity where they are sneaking clips from other shows into the end of podcasts. And it happened on ours, and I thought it was morally questionable at best, and we would never do that to you, try to trick us into listening to our podcast. So this is just me making an announcement to you, a listener of a different show, that we will never, ever try to sneak a clip of our show into the end of another show, because frankly, it's disgusting to me. And I hope that they do not attach a clip of my show that they feel would be a highlight and a selling point to an uninitiated listener onto the end of this message. It would defeat the entire purpose of what I'm saying, and they promised me they wouldn't. And so now what's going to happen is I'll stop talking and nothing else will play afterwards, and that's the way I want it, and that's what's good, and you're welcome for me being so righteous.
There are just so many other options for who could have done this. Some of the really tough guys out there.
Maybe someone actually tough.
Who should have been the Batman. For example, how about one of these Metallica guys?
Nothing's tougher than rocking
out
so hard.
On the drums.
It could have been, and I hate to say this, but what about Kim Jong-un?
Yes, what about Kim Jong-un?
Who's scarier and tougher? And who's rich and can afford all those gadgets?
Yes.
Hollywood Handbook.
Earwolf.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
It's Ashir
and Nicole
from Best Friends.
Our podcast has been out for a few months.
If you haven't listened to it,
you should.
We've already asked the big questions in life.
Imagine if we could lay eggs.
Okay, sure.
I guess we... Wouldn't that be funny if you could eat from yourself?
No, because that's like cannibalism.
Not when you eat yourself.
What?
Hmm?
Answer listener questions.
Hi, Nicole and Ashir. What happens if Ashir dies first? I mean, I've never thought of it.
Well...
I would be so sad.
Oh no, Nicole. I'm not gonna die.
Take BuzzFeed quizzes. Let's pick 8 foods and we'll give you a sex position to try.
Whoa.
This is wild.
Plus, we bring on other funny best friends to talk about their friendship.
I almost want to cry. I don't know why that really made me feel emotional, but
it's because it's pure to talk about friendship.
It's nice.
It's so nice.
It's like so rare to like articulate it, but she's always there for me. Like I think she's just somebody who
Oh, I love this. I love it so much.
Oh my God.
It's really sweet. Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda is new every Wednesday.
On Stitcher,
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify, or wherever
you get
your
podcasts.
Listen.
Oh my God.
To it.